Welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, showcasing programs from radio's golden years. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. There's Westerns in the Sour, later on Gunsmoke from 1954, but first a broadcast of Fort Laramie called Shave Tail, a CBS episode heard first on March 4th, 1956.
Raymond Burr as Captain Lee Quinn. Specially transcribed tales of the dark and tragic ground of the wild frontier. The saga of fighting men who rode the rim of empire. And the dramatic story of Lee Quinn, Captain of Cavalry.
I still don't understand it, Captain.
I don't imagine the War Department worries itself about what you and I think, Gorse.
What I mean is, it only makes plain sense that a troop of men ought to be called a troop, not a company.
What's wrong with company, Sergeant?
Oh, I don't know, Captain, but it kind of makes us out to be an infantry outfit, don't it?
That bothers you?
I joined the cavalry, not a bunch of road builders and day laborers.
I'm not sure Captain Lawson and his men would like to hear themselves called that.
Well, I didn't exactly mean any disrespect to him, sir. I know any frontier post ought to have some infantry stationed on it. But I just think somebody ought to get around to changing the designation company.
A good enough name during the Civil War.
I guess so.
Oh, cheer up, Gorse. May take them 10 years, but sooner or later they'll change it. And I'll be commanding a troop instead of a company.
Yes, sir. I'll be a whole heap older by 85, and I'll sure feel better about it.
All right, Sergeant. Have Corporal Mercer make out some copies of this, then post one at the Sadler's shop, another at the AQM stores.
Yes, sir. Captain?
What is it?
Looks like Lieutenant Seibert's and the men coming through the main gate now, sir.
They're about 7 hours late. Come on. We'll go meet them. Pretty ragged.
Yes, sir.
Sergeant Glasser, take over. Dismiss the platoon.
Sergeant Gorse, have Lieutenant Seibert report to the orderly room as soon as he's free.
Yes, sir.
Well?
Captain.
What is it, Gorse? Say it out.
Lieutenant Seibert is awful young, and he come here straight from the point.
I know that, Sergeant. You want me to be patient with him, that it?
Something like that, sir.
This is Indian country, Gorse. There's not time for a man to be young. I've been patient with him for 3 months now.
Yes, sir. But there's something else this time.
What's that?
His column out there is one man short.
I can see the empty saddle, too, Sergeant. Just have the lieutenant report to me.
Yes, sir.
Lieutenant Seibert reporting the captain's orders.
Stand at ease, Mr. Seibert. You've just completed a fairly routine mission, Mr. Seibert. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
If I recall, your orders were simply to take a platoon from B Company, proceed along the wagon road to Fort Collins, accept delivery of 60 remounts from Garrison Quartermaster, and return to Fort Laramie.
Yes, sir. That's correct.
You were to hold strictly to the route assigned, avoid all contact with Indian irregulars or any action which might provoke hostilities or reprisals. Were those your orders or not?
Yes, sir. They were.
Were they clear? Did you understand them?
Yes, sir, but...
Just ride to Fort Collins and bring back 60 horses. Those were your orders. Now, why didn't you carry them out?
I did, sir, until circumstances changed things.
Circumstances never change an order. The most you can do is alter the way you carry it out. All right, let's take a look at the way you carried out your orders.
Sir,
Up until last night when you bivouacked, everything had been normal. Then during the night, a band of Indians jumped you and got away with 35 head of horses. Why? Because you'd already violated one order, a standing order applying to all night camps in Indian country, to use 4 sentries on the picket line and 4 more out in the point. You'd only posted 3 altogether.
We were only 4 hours from the fort, sir. I thought...
Then you violated 3 more orders. You sent a detail into the fort with the horses you had left, and you led the rest of the column in pursuit of the Indians.
But, sir,
In doing so, you left your assigned route, you made deliberate contact with the Indians, and you committed an act you knew would provoke hostilities. In fact, you did everything but tear up your orders and feed them to your mount.
But they'd stolen the horses, sir, and those horses had been placed in my charge. I couldn't let them get away with it.
Why couldn't you? You're an officer of the United States Cavalry, Mr. Syberts. You're not permitted the privilege of getting mad and hitting back. We've got a job to do out here, a tough one. To keep order over an area of 10,000 square miles, and to do it without men or the guns we need.
I know that, sir.
We're sitting on a powder keg, Lieutenant, every minute of the day and night, and don't you ever forget it. Just because some Indian strikes a match, that gives you no excuse to light one in return. That clear?
Yes, sir.
You brought back an empty saddle. How did it happen?
We were ambushed, sir. Private Lineley was killed in the first volley. Corporal Dean and Private Wagner were wounded. We killed 2 at the hospital before withdrawing.
Did you bring in Lineley's body?
I'm sorry, sir. We were unable to recover.
All right, that's all, Lieutenant.
Yes, sir. Captain Quint... Shall I expect the Board of Inquiry?
That's up to the Major.
Sir, won't he go by your recommendation?
I can't be expected to cover up for every green lieutenant who comes off the point. I'll give him the facts.
Without recommendation?
That'll be all, Mr. Syberts.
Yes, sir.
Now, just a minute, Captain. You can't expect to cover up for every green lieutenant who comes off the point.
And I wouldn't attempt it, Major, but I still accept full responsibility for Mr. Seibert's actions.
Actions? The way I hear it, unofficially, of course, he simply lost his head, violated his orders.
Maybe I didn't make the orders clear to him, sir.
Clear to him? How could he possibly misunderstand a simple mission like that?
He's young, Major. We do things different out here on the frontier. It takes a while to ease into it.
We haven't got a while.
You'll realize that, sir.
Left his route, attacked a band of Indians, and Lord knows what else.
Major Daggett, you asking me for a detailed report?
Yes, of course I'm asking for... Oh, no. No, by heaven, you've already accepted responsibility. I don't want to know the details, at least not officially.
Whatever you want, sir.
You mean whatever you want. Confounded, Lee. You mother that troop of yours like an old hen with a flock of chicks.
Yes, sir.
You'll take them out in the woodshed and whale the daylights out of them yourself, but you'll be hanged if you'll ever let the neighbors find it.
Yes, sir.
All right, you've accepted responsibility, so I'll let it go at that.
Good.
Provided you also accept the responsibility for pulling us out of the fire. A band of renegades, whoever they were, have attacked a cavalry column, stolen 35 horses, and killed a trooper. If they get away with it, more Indians will jump reservation and join up with them.
I think we can prevent that, Major. With your permission, I'd like to have a try at it.
What'll you need?
40 picked men from B Company, a second in command, and half a dozen of the best Indian scouts at the fort. Quanto, for one, Dancing Fox, and maybe Will Granby and Pete Hazen.
All right. Who'll you take as your second? Peterson?
No, sir. Lieutenant Syberts.
You're handicapping yourself.
I'd like to move out by 1 o'clock. That way a forced march will put us at the site of the ambush before dark.
All right, Captain Quince. Make your arrangements.
Thank you, sir.
Oh, and Captain.
Yes, sir?
Good luck.
Thank you, sir. Gores?
Yes, sir.
Just what do you find so funny?
What? Nothing, Captain. Nothing at all. Lieutenant Seibert's reporting, sir. We're ready to move out on order.
Good.
Sergeant Gores?
Yes, sir.
What did the scouts say?
Quanto talked with the scouts that were with the lieutenant at the ambush, sir. He's pretty sure they're a bunch of Cheyenne, Bison clan, with Squaw Dog leading them.
Squaw Dog. How many braves?
Around 30, sir. And Quanto thinks they won't be very far away.
I agree with him. This time of year, they're not likely to go north of the Laramie Mountains or west of the Sweetwater Ridge. 10 to 1, they'll hole up somewhere in the Butte Country this side of the Laramie foothills.
Well, that's what Quanto thinks, too, sir.
All right, Sergeant. Tell Quanto and the other scouts to move out. They can cut the sign at the side of the ambush before the column arrives. We'll be there at 5.
Yes, sir.
Quanto, you and Will Brandy move out.
All right, Mr. Seibert. Post.
Scouts have moved out, sir.
Right, Sergeant. You, get coffee this morning, Gores?
Yes, sir.
I'm glad. I have a feeling that it might be a spell before you get any more. Mr. Seibert?
Yes, sir.
You will move out with a point. Once we clear the fort, you will deploy the men as skirmishers.
Yes, sir.
By the column of twos left, on the guard on, forward!
Forward!
Oh! Captain?
What is it, Gores?
I sure do like getting out in the open air now and then.
I just hope you feel that way 2 days from now.
I think I will, sir. I think I will.
Lieutenant Seibert reporting, sir.
Yes, Lieutenant.
I've checked over the mount, sir. They're standing it well, all in good shape. Private Harrison's mount has a stone bruise, not serious.
Fine. You got a match, Seibert?
Yes, sir. Here you are.
Thanks. Sit down. Rest your feet.
Thank you, sir. Captain, may I ask what the plans are?
We'll let the men rest here till midnight, then push on north following the river. Unless Quanto or one of the other scouts makes contact before then.
And after that, sir, when we find Squad Dog and his men.
No plans. At least no detailed plans. As a matter of information, Lieutenant, or instruction, as you might say, I'm operating under one general order. To get the horses back, punish the Indians responsible for stealing them and for killing Private Lineley, and do it without starting a blood feud.
You pardon my saying it, sir. It sounds like a difficult mission.
Most of the jobs the cavalry does out here are difficult, Lieutenant. In time, you'll realize that.
I'm beginning to, sir.
Hope so.
Who goes there? Advance and be recognized.
Pronto. No.
Captain Quince, it's Pronto, sir.
Over here. Any luck, Pronto?
Much luck. Fine squaw dog.
Where?
Up river at Ponoico Fork, 1 mile west. Camp in Buttes.
Ponoico Fork. And a forced march. We can make it before dawn. Corporal Mercer, get my horse.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Syberts, I'm going to ride out with Quanto and get a look at him. You'll take command of the column.
Yes, sir.
Have the men tie down their bridle chains, muffle all equipment. Stay by the river, but keep moving. Wait at the fork if I haven't rejoined you. Sergeant Gorse knows where it is. That's clear now?
Yes, sir.
All right, Quanto, lead out. Carry on, Lieutenant.
Yes, sir. Bugler!
Sir.
Don Boots and Saddles!
Yes, sir.
Sergeant Gorse!
Yes, sir.
We'll move out in 10 minutes.
Them all right, Lieutenant. If it was anybody else, the point flanker would have stopped him.
I wonder what he plans to do.
I just wouldn't know, sir. I never try to outguess the captain.
Good officer, Sergeant Gorse.
You couldn't find any better, sir. When we got a little time, I want to tell you something else about him.
Made good time, Mr. Syberts.
Thank you, sir.
Be full dawn, about half an hour. Things are working out fine. There are about 30 of them camped in a narrow ravine between those two buttes there to the west.
Luck sure is with us, Captain.
The ravine's about 150 yards long. Only way out's at either end. Sides are too steep to climb. So here's what we'll do. Sergeant Gorse will send 4 men to each of those two buttes. They'll climb on foot, take positions on the rim of the ravine, looking down on Squaw Dog's camp. Understood?
Yes, sir.
Lieutenant, you'll take 12 men, circle south, to come up on the far side of the butte. You'll approach on foot, establish a skirmish line to command the mouth of the ravine. It's all broken ground. There's plenty of cover. You'll have 20 minutes to get in position. Is that clear?
Yes, sir.
I'll move in, cover this end of the ravine. You'll fire at will on your own discretion as soon as you hear my guns open up. And with this point in mind, don't kill a single Indian unless you have to keep from being overrun.
But, sir,
that's an order, Lieutenant. This whole operation is just one purpose. I want Squaw Dog to realize one thing fast, that he's trapped, and that we can kill him and every one of his braves if we so choose. After that, we'll just see what happens. Is that clear to both of you?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
All right, move out.
Now, Captain.
Then we'll assume Syberts is in place. All right, Sergeant. Let's wake him up.
Yes, sir.
Prepare to fire. Ready? Fire! Hit him again, Sergeant. Ready? Fire! Answer ready? Hold! Well, that ought to show him it'll be a little rough trying to come out this end.
We ain't even going to try it, sir. Not one brave has shown up at the end of that ravine. There go the boys up on the rim.
That'll give them something else to think about. Well, you ought to run into Syberts down there at the far end any second now.
There he goes now.
Stop firing. We've turned him back. Well, Gorse, I guess we can settle back now and wait.
What do you figure Squaw Dog's going to do, sir?
I know what I'd do. I'd hightail it out here and talk things over. You got a match, Sergeant?
Vino.
If Squaw Dog wishes to say something to the captain, let him get off his horse and speak the English he learned in mission school. And let him hand me his rifle.
Squaw Dog, ask why it is white man's soldier attack peaceful hunting party.
Is it possible Squaw Dog thinks I'm a fool?
All Cheyenne, no. Captain is wiser of all men.
Then is it possible that Squaw Dog has lost his eyesight and gone blind?
Squaw Dog sees like the eagle.
Then why can't he see 35 horses in there, in that ravine, with the mark of the white man's government on their flanks? Or is it possible that some of the chief's braves have made a fool of him?
A fool?
Could it be that some of them have stolen horses and killed a soldier of the white man's army, and Squaw Dog knows nothing about it? Could it be that they've lied to you, told you they traded for the horses? Are you a chief, Squaw Dog, or a fool whose men laugh at him behind his back?
I am a chief.
Then why are you not able to control your men? Why are they able to fool you so easily? Have you lost your authority?
I am chief.
If you were chief, you would identify the guilty men and punish them yourself. Why is it necessary for the white man's army to do your job for you?
I do not know who does this thing.
Well, I'll give you 5 minutes to find out. And if you can't, then we'll look for the guilty men with bullets. And a bullet has no eyes, Squaw Dog. It can't tell the guilty from the innocent.
How many brave, you say, do this thing?
I don't know. But one trooper was killed. I'd say it would take about 4 braves to kill a trooper.
Squaw Dog, go now.
Just 5 minutes. And when you come out, leave the government horses in the ravine and leave your rifles there, too.
We do not keep rifle.
You do not. It may help remind you to supervise your braves more closely in the future. Now get going.
The 5 minutes are just about up, Captain.
Yeah. He may decide to fight, but I was hoping he'd take the bait.
He took the bait, Captain.
Yeah. Well, it's rough justice, but it's better than the blood feud and a punitive campaign by a full regiment.
There they come, sir. They're riding out.
All right. Let Mr. Syberts know he can follow him through.
Yes, sir.
Bugler, sound recall.
Well, they probably shot the 4 oldest.
Probably. Have Squaw Dog and his braves stand by till Lieutenant Syberts gets here. He took part in the action. He has the right to share the surrender.
Yes, sir.
Guilty braves are punished. Squaw Dog is free to go now.
Yes, you have my permission.
Now go. Kindan.
Oh, just one more thing, Squaw Dog. Every chief should have a rifle, but you have none.
No.
I will permit you to have a rifle, Squaw Dog. Here, take this one. Now, go in peace.
Peace. Boy, in ya.
That bloody old reprobate.
Revenge is a luxury out here on the frontier, Sergeant. Better this way in the long run.
Captain, why'd you give him back his gun?
Because that gun will break his back, Lieutenant.
He took that rifle off of Trooper Lineley's dead body. I saw the serial number. That made him a big man with the clan. Then we outfoxed him, forced him into a spot where he had to execute his own braves to save his skin. And as a final gesture of contempt, I gave him back the gun. That'll break him. It'll save lives in the long run. They'll laugh him off the reservation before the month's out. And what's wrong, Lieutenant?
I caught a bullet, sir. One of the Indians the other end of the ravine. It's not serious.
Why didn't you get attended to?
I had direct orders to report to you at once.
Bullet wound's an exception, Lieutenant. Go find Corporal Grayley and get him to dress that.
Yes, sir.
Oh, Lieutenant.
Yes, sir?
About that board of inquiry.
I heard about it, sir.
Who from?
Sergeant Gore, sir.
Gore?
Captain. He's going to do all right. He'll make a good soldier.
He'll do better than that, Sergeant. He'll make a good cavalryman.
Fort Laramie is produced and directed by Norman McDonald and stars Raymond Burr as Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry, with Vic Perrin as Sergeant Gorse. The script was specially written for Fort Laramie by Les Crutchfield, with sound patterns by Bill James and Ray Kemper. Musical supervision by Amerigo Marino. Featured in the cast were Harry Bartell, Jack Moyles, Joseph Cranston, and John Daner.
Company, attention! Dismiss!
Next week, another transcribed story of the Northwest frontier and the troopers who fought under Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry.
Fort Laramie, on Tune to Two yesterday from March 4th, 1956 on CBS. This is an hour of radio westerns on Tune to Two yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Livonier. Now time for an episode of Gunsmoke, which was seen on the small screen in July of 1956, as in this particular story called Kara, first heard on CBS on May 1st, 1954.
Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gun smoke. Starring William Conrad, the story of the violence that moved west with young America, the story of a man who moved with it, Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
Mr. Dillon, there's Miss Kitty, there in front of the Texas Trail.
Yeah, I think she's waiting to say hello, Chester.
What's she going to work so early for? Why, it ain't hardly noon yet.
I don't know about Kitty, but the stage from Wichita's due in about noon.
Oh, I plumb forgot. Sheriff Benson's coming today, ain't he?
That's what the telegram said.
Why would the sheriff of Wichita come all the way to Dodge, Mr. Dillon? Must be mighty important.
Maybe there's somebody here he'd like to take back with him. Hello, Kitty.
Hello, Matt. Chester.
Miss Kitty?
So this is what Dodge looks like at noon. It's a little too real for me.
We were wondering what brought you out so early.
Sam sent word. He wanted to see me. Come on in and say hello.
Okay. We got a few minutes.
Oh.
Hello, Sam.
Sam.
Marshal.
Oh, Sam.
Hello, Chester. You have any drink, gentlemen?
No, thanks, Sam.
Sam, it isn't noon yet. What am I doing here?
Yeah, thanks for coming, Kitty. It's a new girl I just hired. I thought it'd be sort of nice if you'd take her over and sort of show her the ropes.
Glad to, Sam.
She came in from St. Louis on the Santa Fe this morning. Needed a job real bad.
Well, I hope she's not one of those innocent lambs that's been a lady all her life.
I'll go get her.
Sam takes pity on every lost soul that hits this town.
No woman could stay lost around Dodge for long.
That's true, Chester. That's why most of these women ought to stay home. Say, she's pretty.
Kara.
What?
That's her name, Kara.
You know her?
Yeah, I know her.
Well, here she is, everybody. Kara, this is Kitty and Marshal Dillon and Chester Proudfoot.
Hello, Kara. Aren't you going to say hello, Matt?
It's been a long time, Kara.
Matt and I knew each other out in Arizona, for a while anyway, till Matt sort of changed his mind.
Well, what are you doing in Dodge, Kara?
I thought you'd be surprised. I heard you were marshal here. Somebody told me on the train.
Uh-huh. You've been living in St. Louis?
I've been living everywhere, Matt. I left Arizona about a year after you did. I even tried San Francisco. I made out pretty good there, too.
You planning on staying in Dodge?
Why not? I heard there's a lot of easy money here.
Sure.
Any objections to my staying, Matt?
Well, of course not.
Kitty, it's real sweet of you to show me around. Let's sit over there and have a talk first, shall we?
Sure. Maybe you can teach me a few things.
See you later, gentlemen.
Well, I'll say one thing, Mr. Dillon. She's a right pretty girl, anyway.
Yeah. But she's changed since I knew her. She's changed a lot. Come on, Chester. The stage is about due. This is my office here, Sheriff.
Well, Dodge is sure growed, Marshal. Been 3 or 4 years since I was here.
Yeah. Must look mighty small compared to Wichita, Mr. Benson.
Maybe Dodge will be bigger than Wichita someday. But it's Denver, they say, is grown. I'm curious to see that.
Oh, you headed for Denver, Sheriff?
They're holding a killer for me up there.
Oh. Well, sit down.
I'm taking the next stage west, Marshal, but I wanted to be sure to see you on my way through Dodge. There's some trouble headed here.
Oh?
A fella called Jack Tolliver. He's a bank robber, Marshal. And he's killed a few men along the way. He opened up the state bank in Wichita about a year ago, and he's been working his way through the Dakotas since then. But I hear he's back in Kansas. Took $5,000 out of the bank at Salina a few weeks back.
Well, what makes you think he's going to try Dodge, Sheriff?
Because he's heading south. Dodge is a natural for them.
Them?
He's got a couple of partners. I don't know their names.
Yeah. What does this Tolliver look like?
That's the trouble, Marshal. Nobody ever got a good look at him I know of, but I can tell you something about one of the gang. He sends this one ahead of him to sort of look things over for a week or so, and then he and the other two ride in.
Uh-huh. What about the man that scouts ahead for him?
It ain't a man, Marshal. It's a woman.
A woman?
Don't know her name. She changes it all the time anyway, but she's right pretty. About 5'7", black hair, hazel eyes. She's smart and she's tough.
Right, Claire. Mr. Dillon, that sounds nice.
That's
about
a pretty clever operation, Chester. Sheriff, I sure thank you for telling me all this. We'll be watching for him.
Well, I better go get some dinner before that stage pulls up. See you on my way back, Marshal. Goodbye, Chester.
Bye, Mr. Benson.
Thanks again, Sheriff.
Mr. Dillon, that sure did sound like Kara he was describing. Oh, but of course she wouldn't be mixed up in anything like that.
Well, I said she'd changed, Chester, but I hope she hasn't changed that much. I think I better go have a talk with her.
Why, Matt, how do you know where I was?
Kitty told me. I'd like to talk to you, Kara.
Sure. Come in.
Thank you.
Is it embarrassing for you, Matt? My being in Dodge?
Why should it be, Kara?
Well, we were pretty good friends once.
Well, we can still be friends.
You mean that, Matt? You really mean it?
You know what I mean, Kara.
Why'd you come here? What do you want?
Oh, just to talk a little.
About what?
About you. Where you been. Did you ever get married? Things like that.
No, I never got married. And I told you I've been everywhere. What else?
What have you been doing lately? Why'd you leave St. Louis?
I haven't been in St. Louis.
You said you just came from there.
You didn't let me finish. I haven't been in St. Louis very long, and I had no reason to stay there. Matt, what's this all about? If you don't want me in Dodge, say so. I'll leave.
Oh, you're welcome in Dodge, Kara.
I don't know whether to believe you or not.
Oh, maybe I'm being too curious. I'll shut up.
Oh, it isn't that. I guess it's just that there's a lot of things I don't want to talk about. You understand that?
Sure, sure. But I won't be bothering you anyway. I have to go out of town for a few days tomorrow.
Oh? Where are you going?
Salina. They're holding a prisoner for me there.
Salina?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you're going tomorrow?
Yeah. I'll be back in a couple of days, though.
Matt, couldn't you put it off for a while? Say, another week?
Why, Kara?
I don't know. I'd like you around. I feel like such a stranger here. I'll be more at home in another week. Please, Matt?
Sure, Kara. Doesn't make much difference. You let me know if there's anything I can do for you. Huh?
Thanks, Matt. I will.
Was you there, Mr. Dillon?
Yeah.
Did you find out anything?
Only if she is mixed up with this man, Tolliver, she can't get in touch with him for a week. But we won't worry about it till then.
It'd be kind of too bad. I mean, you being a friend of hers and all.
The sheriff said Tolliver's killed a number of men, Chester. I won't mind stopping him. If I can. A few days passed, and as I'd thought, nothing happened. Kara worked at the Texas Trail, and although we kept an eye on her, she talked to so many strangers every day, there was no way of telling which
might have been her bank robber friend, Jack Tolliver. Would have been easy for him to just ride into town anytime he wanted, buy Kara a drink, and get what information she'd gathered. I talked to her now and then, and although she tried not to show it, I was pretty sure she was aware that I was suspicious of her. And then one day, I was real sure. Doc and Chester and I just finished a game of three-handed stud in the office.
650, 675, and seven. 750, $8.
You have to count it out loud, Doc.
850, nine fifty. Ah, there we are. Well, I do it to teach you a lesson, Chester.
You got my money, ain't that enough?
Oh, you're always thinking of money, Chester. Money isn't the only pleasure in the world. Why, there's also... Oh, my, there's...
Also what?
You better think hard, Doc. He's following you mighty close.
Did you ever go out in the night, Chester, and look at the stars?
What?
Did you ever watch them and feel close to nature and enjoy the great and wondrous beauty of it all?
You talk like you had a drink, Doc.
Chester.
Of course, I've watched the stars. Whenever it wasn't raining or snowing or blowing a wind down out of the north, or whenever I wasn't just too doggone saddle weary and tuckered out to keep my eyes open.
You're a hard man to inspire, Chester. Saving you from the devil will be a full-time job. And I'm afraid it's too late.
Now, here.
The world has corrupted you, Chester. It's touched your soul. It's withered it like a... Like a bean.
Like a bean? Now, doggone it, you listen here, Doc.
Kitty! Well, look upon her, Chester. The beauty of womanhood in all its passionate splendor.
What?
It sure beats the stars, anyway.
Are you too drunk?
Doc's been trying to teach Chester to take a larger view of life, Kitty.
Doc's got all my money, and he's just crowing about it. That's all he's doing.
Money, huh? Well, that's just what I came here for.
Oh, what do you mean, Kitty?
I need $20, Matt.
Oh, well, sure. Here you are.
Before I take it, I better tell you, it isn't for me.
What?
Kara needs it. She came to me, and I didn't have it, but I said I thought I could get it for her. I think she knows where.
Well, she could have come to me herself.
Too proud, maybe.
How come she's broke? She's been working.
I didn't ask her what it's for, Matt.
It's all right, Kitty. Give it to her.
I will. But I'll tell you something.
What?
I've met some pretty tricky women here and there. But your old friend Kara has them all beat. I'll give her the money.
Chester.
Yes, sir?
Follow Kitty. Don't let Kara out of your sight till you find out what that money's for. I'll wait here for you.
Okay, Mr. Dillon.
The depot's already crowded, Chester. It must be close to train time.
Yes, sir. And Carol will be here. I know she will. The agent told me she bought one ticket to St. Louis and asked what time the next train leaves.
Well, I hope she's here.
And maybe she's innocent after all, Mr. Dillon.
Well, we'll soon find out, Chester. Oh, there she is over there.
Yes, and all dressed up, too.
Carol's always all dressed up.
Hello, Matt. Chester?
Miss Kara?
You're staring at me, Matt.
I'm just wondering why you didn't come and say goodbye if you're leaving Dodge.
What makes you think I'm leaving?
Well, you bought a ticket to St. Louis with the $20 I gave Kitty for you.
Yes, I did. I knew you'd figure it all out, Matt. And I knew you'd think I'm leaving. I wanted you to.
Why, Kara?
Because I've enjoyed making a fool of you.
Have you?
A friend of mine's leaving on that train, Matt.
Jack Tolliver?
I knew you were on to us.
I'll watch Kara if you want to go after him, Mr. Dillon.
There are 20 strangers down here, Chester. How do I know which one's Tolliver? You know, I could arrest you, Kara. You're wanted in a lot of places.
You're too smart for that, Matt. Arrest me and you'd never find Jack.
Sure, but once Tolliver's on that train, I can find him.
How?
I'll have the whole train put under guard when it gets to Abilene. And one by one, every man on it will have to clear himself. We'll get him.
No, you won't. He'll jump off.
He won't know what I'm going to do, and you can't warn him now.
Hey, it's pulling out, Mr. Dillon.
We'll make it, Chester. So long, Kara.
No, Matt, wait.
Come on, Chester, run.
Matt, come back.
Well, we made it. You sure fooled her, Mr. Dillon.
Kara doesn't think I fooled her, Chester.
What do you mean?
She thinks she fooled me.
Well, how?
She wants me on this train. She planned the whole thing for it.
Well, why are we here then?
Well, we won't be for long. There's a ranch close to the tracks about 10 miles from here. I'll have the conductor stop the train and we'll get off there and then borrow a couple of horses.
And ride on back to Dodge?
Jack Tolliver's in Dodge, Chester. He's thinking he can hold up the bank any time he wants to now. But there's nobody to stop him.
I tied the horse way over yonder, Mr. Dillon. Plumb out of sight.
Oh, good.
It's almost dark anyway. They'd never see him.
Yeah. Well, things look quiet enough. Come on, let's get inside the bank. We'll wait for him there.
How are we going to get in, Mr. Dillon? Ain't it locked?
Yeah, there isn't more than a couple of $100 in there, Chester. Mr. Botkin's been keeping the bank's real money in a safe at his home ever since I heard about Jack Tolliver. He gave me a key to the rear door here.
Well, if there's nothing for him to steal, what do we care?
Well, I'll let you figure that out for yourself, Chester.
Hmm? Where'll I get at, Mr. Dillon?
Over there by the window there. Where you can see him, huh?
Oh, what if they try to come in the front?
No, they won't. It's too exposed. I'll wait over here. When they come, we'll leave them alone until they get clear inside. You understand?
Yes, sir. I won't shoot till you do.
All right, good. Now, don't stand right in front of the window, Chester. They'll see you.
Yeah, but I can't see good if I'm at one side.
You don't have to be at one side. Just stand a few feet back from it.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's better.
My. I sure do wish there was a moon tonight.
Yeah, it'll be a help, all right.
Uh-oh.
What?
There's some horses. They're heading this way.
How many?
4, I think. Yep, 4.
Yeah, that's them.
Here they come. They're getting down. 3 of them are. They're handing their reins to the other one. I hope now he's getting down, too.
She, Chester. That's probably Kara.
By golly, I think it is.
All right, quiet now.
Yes, sir.
Not so much noise. Pete, they can hear us all the way down Front Street. All clear, Kara?
Okay, Jack.
All right. Go ahead, you two. I'll follow.
All right.
Behind the banker's desk there, according to Kara.
Yeah.
All right, get your hands in the air, Tolliver. All of you. You're coming.
I can't see.
No.
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 I got 2 of them, Chester.
Tolliver run outside, but I hit him. He's wounded. Look, Kara's having to help him.
Hold it, Tolliver. Kara, get away from him.
No, you don't, Kara. You stay right here.
Don't hide behind me, Jack. You'll kill me.
He won't kill you. But if you move, I will.
No, let me go.
Get around behind him, Chester.
Yes, sir.
You're trapped, Tolliver. Now let Kara go.
You just stay right where you are, both of you. I'll kill her if you don't.
You coward, Jack. Get away from me.
I warned you.
There you go.
got him, Mr. Dillon. He's dead.
I didn't get him soon enough. Let's see how Kara is. Kara. Kara. I'm sorry, Kara. It's too dark. I couldn't shoot any quicker. Kara. I don't think she heard me, Chester.
He shot her right in the back, Mr. Dillon.
Yeah.
Well, sir, that's the end of Jack Tolliver's gang.
It's the end of a lot of things, Chester. A lot of things.
Yes, sir, I guess it is.
Gunsmoke, under the direction of Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal.
Gunsmoke, on Tuned to Yesterday from the 1st of May, 1954, a CBS broadcast. And that wraps up this hour of Westerns on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great shows from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for tuning in.